This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, November 19th,
2009. It is now 6:44. The meeting is called to order. If all the Assembly members would please take their seats. And you can call it, Brittany. Acapella.
Here.
This side.
Roneal.
Here.
Here. William.
He's here. Unexcused.
Thanks. Now moving on to open microphone. If there's anyone who would like to address the assembly that is currently not on the agenda, please step forward and introduce yourself. Okay, seeing none, we'll move to approval of the minutes. They were sent to you via email. Do I have any motions? There's been a call to acclamation and a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the minutes have been approved. Now moving on to announcements and reports. But before I begin, since we have a very jam-packed agenda as well as an executive session to go to, I'm going to limit speakers' time with questions and such to 1 minute. And also, in another time-saving measure, let me take this opportunity to thank everyone for all the work that they're doing and know that they're very appreciated, so you don't need to, you know, mention that when you're making comments. And yeah, all right. So keep your comments succinct. Write down what you have to say. Get to the point. Avoid pause fillers, and let's go. Office hours will be Saturday at 12 to 2 p.m. in Live Cafe as usual. The survey results are attached. You can take a look at them for yourselves. And also, if you want more feedback on the open-ended responses, you can see me after the meeting. And we have an AAP update from Representative Smith. Any questions for Representative Smith? Again, if you have other comments, you can feel free to talk to these people after the meeting. Moving on to a dining committee update by Representative Bussell.
Real fast, two quick kind of study events. This meeting, assuming we're not here past 7:30, which might be down in Willow Street, down in the Open Shield. They're having a Mexican themed food night, which should be pretty exciting. Definitely check it out. And then if you're going to be here over Thanksgiving, Cornell Dining is on a big Thanksgiving season. They say it's arguably one of their best events. So check it out.
Any questions? Comments? Women's issue? Representative Raps.
All right, so I'll keep this back as well. Attached are the survey results from Resolution 9. If you have any questions about that, you can ask me. Thank you, Bengal, for doing all the cool graphics. Actually, yesterday I said that I was going to meet with CUPD, so I met with Chief Zoner and a lot of sergeants. And basically, they have this new thing where Ithaca Police and Cornell Police will be on patrol together, so they now have jurisdiction over College Town and other areas outside of Cornell. Also, we're working on extending the blue light system, and everything I brought up in last meeting basically just got approved by CUPD, so that's going to be happening soon. I'll let you guys know where you can come when we're tabling, when we're passing things out, all that kind of stuff. So.
Task Force update, Luki Kumar.
Yeah, I just want to remind all. Is this on? I just want to remind all SA members to make sure you read your assigned task force reports by tomorrow, and email me the one-page summary by tomorrow at noon. Over the weekend, I'll be compiling all those and talking to the GPSA counterpart, so we can kind of form a student response to those. So again, noon tomorrow, get them all in. Thanks.
Communications committee update, VP Andrews.
Yeah, so you've all been added as contributors to the blog, cornellsa.wordpress.com. I know if you've added stuff, feel free to go ahead, post stuff. I do have to approve it. I'm trying to get rid of that function. I don't know how, but eventually it'll just, you know, you post and it goes straight up to the online. Tell your friends, tell your constituents about it. We've been averaging about 15 hits a day, so I'll try and get that up to however high we can go. But let's keep this continued discussion about the SA activities, and hopefully as people can contribute more people will start signing on.
Appropriations Committee's allocation, DPB.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and go through the Appropriation Committee's recommendations from Monday. So these are like about two-thirds of the way through your packet. They're kind of tucked in the middle. So first, we'll talk about the Collegiate Reader Program. The Collegiate Reader Program was previously funded at $5.50. They requested and were recommended by the Appropriations Committee to be funded at $6. The Collegiate Readership Program provides those New York Times and USA Today's 22 locations across campus, and they can be picked up for free using an undergraduate student ID. Graduate student IDs do not work for those boxes, so it's an undergraduate-only program. Are there any questions or motions? Call for acclamation. Second. Is there any dissent? All right, seeing none, Collegiate Readership Program is approved. Next, we're going to go on to Haven. Haven is the LGBTQ umbrella organization on campus, and they fund a variety of social and educational programming for the LGBTQ community. Haven was previously funded at $2.06. They requested $2.75. The Appropriations Committee recommended $2.20. Basically, here the rationale of the committee was that Haven essentially provides sort of a wide variety of both social and educational funding. The committee wanted Haven in its increase to really focus on increasing educational programming, including, I guess, also activism sort of based off, but mainly educational programming. And committee members also called into question a lot of the expenses surrounding the annual Filthy Gorgeous event. So are there any questions or motions?
Motion to accept the recommendation.
There's been a motion to approve. Any dissent? Is there a call for acclamation? Second. Any dissent? All right, seeing none, Haven is approved at $2.20. Finally, we're going to Women's Resource Center. Women's Resource Center was previously funded, requested, and was recommended all at $2. The committee really had very little constructive criticism or feedback from Women's Issues Committee. I think the committee members were generally very supportive of the things they've been doing, and really a lot of us as Assembly members were also excited regarding Natalie's work in the Women's Issues Committee to keep working closely with the Women's Resource Center about getting those results out. So are there any questions or motions? Call for acclamation. Second. Any dissent? All right. Seeing none, Women's Resource Center is approved for $2. Go ahead.
Resolution 26 on business of the day, continuation of liaisons between the Club Sports Council and the FAFC. Sam Justin Min, Yulia, Chad, Annie, and Kat. Jess, you can start talking about it.
So this is kind of an update of two days of your presentation. The first one is Resolution 26 regards the continuation of the CFC, which is the Club Sports Council, which is established last year. And basically, it's a recommendation body that provides recommendations to the FAFC in regards to Club Sports, which is really one of the biggest kind of allocations that the FAFC does every year. So, it can be a body that understands what Club Sports needs allocations for, they can be subjective organizations that kind of knows exactly what their needs are, again, with those resources and information provided for the necessary recommendations to make the proper allocations to Club Sports. And then we have the representatives of, again, the FAC and the current Club Sports.
So it's a friendly resolution. We started this relationship last semester. We felt that there was a big disconnect between Club Sports and the FAFC. The FAFC typically funds up to an maximum of 25% of the FAFC funding goes to Club Sports. We kind of wanted to hear their concerns and have a representative on the Club Sports Council. And actually, that's involved here to show up our meeting. They're non-voting members, so they don't actually make any executive decisions. They help us figure out how the Club Sports are. Also, they're considering applying for bylaw funding, they're considering other sources of funding and how our relationship is going to be in the future. So we really would like to keep them with us because through this relationship, Annie, Catherine, and Jed were able to obtain a lot of financial data, historical allocations, current allocations. So it's just something that helps us out really just keep that kind of working. So that's it for the question.
Okay. VP Booth.
Yeah, I mean, thank you guys for coming here today. Sorry about me. So I met with, all you club sports guys a couple of weeks ago, and I think this is something that is, at least in my mind, a fantastic idea, mainly because the Club Sports Council can really focus on, those kinds of judgments that the SFC may not necessarily have as much experience in doing. So, for example, durable goods for sports equipment isn't necessarily durable goods for, the art club. I think that definitely what we want to see is you guys growing in terms of institutional structure to the point where you can receive or at least apply for bond funding in 2 years. So I think that continuing this program is absolutely great. And if there's nobody else, I'll go ahead and call the question. You want to?
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead. Yield.
How does this, I know you guys are considering creating a separate funding debt body for the club sports. Does this play into that at all, or?
Yeah, before we thought we were going to have a bifurcated process where the club sports would subjectively approve the budget for, say, tennis teams, swimming pool events, and the SAFC would subjectively fund us, we thought about the actual structure for that, and it wouldn't be really critical for our practices. Our deadlines are early enough as it is. One of the areas that they're exploring right now is going for bylaw funding in the future. For that, though, in order to put like 25% of our money in the very least, so there would need to be a strong position in place that kind of shows how to allocate funds and the accounts and so forth. So we really want to keep watching this relationship with the Office of the Assembly and so forth to get that infrastructure set up. This has been an issue from year to year that the board has asked, possibly to get bylaw funded. And risen up, year after year, because there's not a continuation. So one of the things is that this program is not expired in 2011, at which time hopefully the co-chair or the liaison from that year will come up for the FAA and talk about their progress. So we don't want to just put representatives on the FAA that aren't doing anything. It kind of gives us the step off point.
Anyone else? Any motions? Call to question.
Motion to hand vote.
Okay. All those in favor of the sense of body resolution, please raise your hand. All those against? Abstention? Okay. By a vote of 18-0, the resolution passes. Who voted? Oh, okay. Resolution 27, amendments to the FDSC guidelines.
So what we want to do with this clause is kind of eliminate this cap that
on this location, and leave it up to the city board to decide when we're smoothing out between the caps. So the city board regularly does decide the other caps. You may have questions about this. Change number 7 is the clarification of the field hearing attendance requirement. Again, that's the group has to come to schedule time, same deal.
Change number 8 is also one of the substantial changes to the FAC guidelines. So it basically clarifies the FAC rules in the FAC allocation process. Now, as of now, the FAFC, so we have the FAFC now and the FAFC. But the FAFC itself, that in a lot of ways, a lot of the decisions that they've made objectively have been undermined by the FAFC because there would always be exceptions and things of that nature that would be overturned by the FAFC after, you know, they had not met the FAFC guidelines, not all the FAFC rules in the same fashion. So basically, we're adding a sentence in section 6.4.2 that says the appropriation committee will respond solely to questions of whether the commission carries in its findings of fact or application of the recommendation at the committee field. So that essay is really, again, working alongside the FAC instead of always working against it, so that they can strengthen each other's decisions and really from the back.
I don't think the FAA works against it. I think it's just really clarified. So when presented their appeal, they have a form that they fill out. And really, the two categories, we had a third category earlier on in the years, and that was discrimination. So now we have two categories. One is finding the facts, like, you know, you make a little calculation error or safety. And one is the application of the rules, like, you know, the rules say this, if you really need that, then you can really apply them in the right way. So this is kind of clarifying what the appropriation committee to judge is guilty. Other questions?
And the second one, again, is stuff the board member was wrong with the identity of the decision of the appeal to the
Okay,
change 9 talks about how the construction sentence writing out the allocation goes. Clubs and organizations have to separate how much money that they would be using for talking and how much money that they would be using for copies. We thought that was a little necessary. We wanted to give clubs and organizations the opportunity to be a little more flexible with publicity and things like that. So if they want to use all the funds for talking, do that, and you want to get all of it for paper copies that they can use. So just that.
Page number 10 is the four groups have to require showing the group's mailbox. Now we're going to get a comprehensive list from the SAO office. So the groups will have to submit individually voices. They often get lost and procedures you have at one life. Change number 11 is just moving up and clarifying the language. You know, for each agency, a $500 or less. The groups are seeing, you know, key phrases of $500 or less, one greater than $500. And change number 12 is removing the place that travel and self-assessment form. So basically, the club, especially club sports or like Model 1 club, is going to travel and bring more than 4 people, then their advisor is going to also sign an additional form. We found that it's unnecessary to do that now that advisors basically approve all of the funding requests online through the servers and NAG. So it's almost unnecessary to have an application to say, we really do want 3 or 4 people instead of 4 people to come. And number 13 is the durable good clarification.
Sure, so as you all know, we've had a couple of issues dealing with verbals and calls earlier in the semester, and we figured it would be appropriate for us to kind of clarify the issue and make sure that we are making exceptions for individual organizations. So what we did in terms of the verbal system laws is we said that we changed the original wording of the clause today. The commission funds consumers that are typically used immediately over a period of time and are able to do this orientation purposes, we thought that that clarification would be important going forward. The second part of the jurisdiction clause essentially would be that.
We require recruiters to submit an inventory report form, but oftentimes they kind of fail to do that and sometimes they're overlooked because some of the clubs do that. We're really trying to, you know, make sure that our funds are allocated, what, you know, there's going to be used for, and that we take care of them, you know, years and years, you know, basically durable, and then durable in the last several semesters. So this is just going to help to have a reminder that the inventory clause is there and it's going to be enforced. And finally, so we had a second thought that was a little like arbitrary to support our productive supplies, the productive part of the organization mission. So it's just a little bit arbitrary, and we're just going to use the same clause to judge ourselves as we use for all other clubs. So I think it's gonna be like a more fair system.
Right, so instead of removing that clause, is what we felt is very unethical kind of exception to specifically our organization. It doesn't mean that going forward we necessarily will rule differently in that regard, but it does mean that there is no specific clause regarding our compliance in that they exercise our authority.
30 seconds. Okay, first time to speak with this is Vivek Kumar.
Great, thank you. Most of these changes are, really great. I think they streamline the process, help you guys operate better. There are a couple that I kind of want to draw attention to and just kind of have a more full discussion. The first one is change number 6. Basically, this change puts, I guess, more of the authority into the hands of the executive committee of the SAC. Is there a reason you chose for this decision to be the limit on the combined allocations of organizations that are determined to be club sports? Is there a reason why you determined that limit? That you want that limit to be determined by the executive committee of the SAFC rather than either the student assembly as a whole or, more preferably, the SAFC as a whole?
There are a few reasons for that. So, just to clarify, the club sports after this clause would not be just thrown into the general school with all of the regular groups. They would still be in their own school. We just don't want to have an ex-ante percentage cap because what we found going from semester to semester, like just playing around with the numbers for this semester and setting a cap, we could have given a much smoother difference between regular club and club sports and core if we were able to like increase the cap slightly. So we just kind of wanted to account for the semester to semester changes. So again, club sports, like there would still be a certain amount that they're allocated, and they're not going into like the general school with all the clubs. Also, another reason is that we don't have a special ex-ante cap for organized events versus regular clubs. Since already, like, we have progression, especially if we have one variable, we have to, like, one equation, like, you know, 4 to 25%. So it's just easy.
Right. But I understand, the reason to kind of separate club sports out. It's just a question of, in terms of determining who sets the cap, I guess why is it the executive committee of the SAFC rather than like for a vote of the SAFC as a whole?
Yeah, so that's a good question. The reason it is because there's really no discussion that goes along with caps. So when the organization requests money, we only have this sum of money, but the cap that needs to be placed by, Terry Ari and the executive board. So it's not really up to the discussion, it's just this is the money that we have, and unfortunately, we have to put it
back. I see. Much time do I have? Wait. The other change was change number 8. Obviously this takes, it gives the student assembly a lot less leeway in terms of determining how best to fund student groups. So I was kind of curious, first of all, in order for the student assembly to overturn the appropriations committee, it would take 2/3. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. You're right. This is more of a statement, but I think I'm personally against restricting our ability to determine the best use of student money in terms of, I think our charge is to determine how best to allow student groups to flourish in this environment. So I'm a little weary about that. I guess the final point I'll make is that if I can make a motion to move this to new business, should I do that now?
Second.
From business of the day?
Yeah.
Meaning you're tabling it for the next year's convention.
Well, this isn't, this should be a new business, right?
No, it doesn't.
We put it
okay. Well, okay, so I'll motion to put it in new business.
Second.
Okay, there's been a second to table this to new business. Is there any dissent? Okay. Representative Walsh.
So, I guess first of all, in regards to change six, I think this is a great idea because it gives you guys more flexibility to determine, like, you know, exactly how much club sports needs versus other organizations. And I think, you know, obviously the way it's written, club sports will in fact benefit from these changes. Also at the same time, I also want to commend you guys for Rule 12, which I think adds like a lot of accountability for durable goods, and really ensures that, you know, because previously I guess the rule is that groups have to store stuff in an on-campus location, correct? Is that okay? And that's still in the rules. So, you know, I guess that's obviously trying to, you know, preserve our capital investment in clubs. But I think this kind of goes one step further and really ensures that groups are accountable for those kinds of things, which is great. Also, to kind of jump back to change number 8, which I think is going to be the interesting matter of debate for us, and I think it was good to sort of let all of us kind of sleep on it. But I think that when I look at SAFC appeals, when I look at SAFC funding in general, you know, the purpose of the SA and the purpose of the SAFC as far as money is concerned is to, you know, give money as best we can. And it's an imperfect process, but give money as best we can to support student activities on campus. So in my mind, it's a very optimistic sort of, you know, forward-looking, positive kind of, you know, outlook. You know, when it comes to the SAFC's financial reality and the objective standards that you guys have, you know, obviously not a criticism, but just sort of the fact of, you know, the financial situation, but, you know, it does force you guys to take sort of a different view of funding, perhaps, than, you know, I think all of us would like. All of us would like everyone, you know, to get full funding for any great ideas that, you know, students have. So, I think coming from that kind of point of view, at least for me, what I want to see is I want to see objective standards, the type of objective standards the SAFC upholds and that you guys do such a great job upholding. That has to be preserved and promoted to the utmost. But at the same time, I want to recognize, and this is something that obviously, you know, the SA and the SAFC have tried to do over the last few years, but really to work towards some kind of system that, you know, allows flexibility for groups that, you know, doesn't impose strict deadlines, and if you pass them, you get no funding, or if you forget a document, you get no funding. But, you know, and I know that a rolling system could potentially be difficult in terms of office work and administrative support, but I really feel like, you know, change 8 is sort of a step backwards from that mindset, which I think is the mindset that we should be having in terms of a proactive look. So.
PPM.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually, I was kind of surprised to see this today. I mean, I emailed you you all last, just the beginning of the week. So I know we're meeting tomorrow to talk about specifically a change like this. The SAFC does an amazing job of being an extremely objective body, funding according to their guidelines. But I think that in every situation, you know, there should be a subjective standard, which, you know, could analyze the real world situation and what happens, and you know, and so I think that, as Basil said, change 8 needs to be discussed with this entire assembly, because it severely restricts the subjective element that we're supposed to represent for students. And so we'll be having this discussion tomorrow and hopefully throughout the week.
I'm going to go ahead and table this resolution until next week. So now we'll be discussing Resolution 28, release of SAFC allocation.
So because of the fact that roughly around 37% of the campus goes to the FAS students, that would be necessary for students to be able to see as well as understand where that money is going to specifically regarding allocation. So we are actually in this resolution proposing that an electronic copy, now that all the applications are online, an electronic report that basically shows where the allocations have gone to, what the organizations and how much allocation have gone to those organizations. So I have a specific of how that report will be organized or made available to the public is still up for debate as well because of logistical reasons. But the main essence of this is that such information will be allowed to be generated by the public.
Quick comment, a lot of times during the semester we get questions from based on your the Cornell whatever different Cornell organizations that want to, get access to the funding. I'm sorry, I forgot from the Cornell Review, and we don't want this information to be misused by certain groups, because we want groups to have access to it. We really want it to be available to all students so that it's very easy to put numbers around and percentages. And I think this could help us get some feedback from the community, or to get some feedback from the community, because what we realized from last year with the article task force is that these numbers don't really get reviewed as much as they should, and this could kind of help that.
Moving to speakers with CPDs.
Yeah, so obviously, I've been on this email string with, the rest of you guys for the past couple of weeks about students inquiring about information. So, in regards to that, I guess, it was my impression from that email that there was sort of a clause or some kind of rule that prevented this from happening. So, that's not the case. So this doesn't need an accompanying, charter change or anything like that in the SAFC charter. Okay, so we should not vote on this today. We should wait for formal language. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I guess we could do that with the SAFC guidelines. Maybe anyway. So I think this is obviously great, and that's all I have to say.
Representative Dent.
Yes, I think I definitely applaud the move. I think that's extremely important.
There's been a call to question. Is there a second? Is there any dissent?
Motion for call for acclamation.
There's been a motion for a call of acclamation. There's a second. Is there a dissent? Seeing none, Resolution 28 passes. Moving to Resolution 29, SA Organizational Review Committee and RSO Task Force Recommendations. VP Andrews and Yulia Navarova. And just to clarify, this resolution was passed last year, but upon further review by the President's office, he wanted some of the language to be a bit more clear, so they're presenting a new version now. That's why it says amending the adopted Resolution 44. And it's going to require a two-thirds majority to approve this resolution with the adopted changes.
This is kind of interesting for me because this is the one meeting last year that I was chairing, So I didn't kind of get to throw my two cents in it. I had a lot of reservations about this resolution. I think that obviously this, you know, hugely expands our powers in assembly, not just to fund groups, but actually to restrict groups. And I know that, you know, to a certain extent, we do kind of manipulation through the borrowing funding process, but, you know, more so than that, this really steps in and bans small groups from, you know, forming. On the other hand, however, this really doesn't stop groups of students from, you know, declaring themselves an organization and, you know, meeting and doing all the kinds of things they do. Really, I think what this is more targeted towards is use of university resources, which all of you econ university people, you know, will know and love well. So, you know, I think that there's actually is kind of a yin and yang for this resolution. A lot of the powers that were sort of given concern me. But on the other hand, I do think that they're tempered well with the way the process is run in terms of the committee and giving groups the ability to sort of appeal and all that kind of stuff. I mean, even looking through this list, I think that, you know, all of you guys will see a lot of opportunities where you'll agree with the kind of groups that were singled out, but a lot of instances where you should, at least, in my opinion, disagree, where, you know, that a lot of these groups kind of do similar things. But, for example, you know, there's demand at Cornell's campus for 4 club soccer teams, because there's enough people that want to play club soccer that we should have 4 club soccer teams. So, you know, I think that essentially we should be very careful about this. Is this new business or is this business today?
Business of today.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would need more time to come around to support this resolution. I think that today I would vote against it.
Are you motioning to move?
Yeah.
Well, no, it actually is business of the day, so we could vote on it. Well, it's amending. If we were to vote on it next week, it would require a simple majority. If you chose to vote on it today, it would require a 2/3 majority. Okay, good to know. Okay, Vivi, come on.
Yeah, so, you know, I echo some of what Vivi Basil said, but at the same time, you know, I think the fact that the Student Assembly is entrusted with, you know, the whole byline funding process and you know, oversight of SAC and all that. I think, you know, a critical part of our purpose on campus is to, you know, to provide some sort of assistance or whatever to student groups. But I was curious how you envision these changes, how our relationship with, you know, SAO would change, how, you know, what's SAO's, you know, whole involvement?
So the SAO is the one who came,
Right.
Registered Student Organization Task Force. Joe Cicino, that only committee where we wrote all of this. He's the one who deals with registering a new group on campus. He's the one who actually emailed Brandon a few days ago about the current conflict with a group coming on campus. So then the administration came to us asking us to create this committee because the administration doesn't want to be the one telling students that they can't organize. And I think that if the choice is between the administration doing it and the student assembly doing it, I think it's responsible of us, for us to do it instead of the administration. And to come to the basic point really quickly, I was staunchly against the moratorium of student groups, and I was very hesitant to support and even write anything like this. But if you look at the specific criteria for how you can restrict a group from coming to campus or for removing a group from campus, it's extremely strict. It's practically purely objective with the one line of the purpose, the proposed organization's essential function duplicates the essential function of an existing organization on campus. That right there is the only subjective element provided by these guidelines. So that's the one criteria by which the student assembly is considered to not allow them on campus. The others are purely
representative.
I just, for a new organization process, I would like to see sort of FDA,
then also allowing back and forth to move this new process also, just so that, you know, they're able
to. I mean, I think it's just a little bit off.
Okay. Representative, sorry.
Yeah, I'm actually in favor of the process with the organization review. The only kind of constraint I had were with the continuing organization. First of all, I agree with much of the basal about the health team. I think that's an area where there's definitely demand for multiple us doing the same thing. The other thing is how exactly are you going to be, like, you guys just have a couple things of what you're looking at for, like, when you're evaluating the club, but is there going to be any sort of process where, like, maybe similar to appropriations where the club is going to come to you and give it a feel, and then, like, there's going to be example you gave, so that, you know, there's like a car playing club,
10 seconds.
There's like a blackjack club, and there's a poker club. Like, how do you determine which one of those you discuss? And then finally, yeah, if you want, like, that, just list up the terms of the appeal for the end of it, like, the majority or whatever that's going to be.
So the 20th line of the first paragraph of the continuing organizational review process, it says that all the criteria outlined by the new organization also applies to the new organization. So there's a process, so we didn't repeat it, the process of, you know, the compensation period for this time period is locked up with counsel for the review of the current continuing groups. And I think that the appeal process, and that maybe that also goes at the vantage point, shouldn't be, I mean, and maybe clarified here, but that process is outlined by the charter. So, you know, this would be immediately due to the team assembly requires 2/3 to overturn. So I think it's kind of redundant to repeat all over here to cover the
Representative.
I'm a little confused with the differentiation between this committee and the SAFC a little. I think it seems like it takes hours and hours to review every, you know, organization, and the SAFC does a lot of that. So I don't understand why you wouldn't maybe want to add a member to the SAFC with the exact path of, you know,
yeah, that's actually a good point. The reason why you're forming a separate committee to the SAFC is because the SAFC funds purely objective guidelines. And they didn't want to have the same body that funds on objective guidelines to be the same body that determines, I guess, the existence of the group on campus. And they felt like it could be separate body, separate guidelines, so there would be any type of conflict of interest. And there's a liaison so that there's discussion going on. But the SAFC is reflecting your
Okay. Since there's no one up on the speaker booth, I'm going to go ahead and table this to next week. If anyone has any further questions, feel free to email. Yeah. Okay. Moving on to amending the adopted resolution.
All right. So I'll give the sponsor of this resolution 2 minutes.
So I really wasn't expecting there to be so much delay about this, but questions for just the Asia along with some other delays. I think my office in this resolution probably not being implemented until next semester. If these changes which were recommended by the president were to be approved, tonight it would, you know, take him on getting another week to respond by that time. So just two quick additions to the paper you have in front of you. One, I would like to strike the words without further effect, so just be on motions that express the opinion of the assembly. And you don't have this in front of you, but we decided Representative Grassley's amendment that read 4.1.3, the parliamentarian shall administer the previous clause of the SA Charter. The parliamentarian shall count handle the experiment, civil majority from the gallery, where all eligible voters sit in a designated table. So I would like to strike the words where all eligible voters sit in a designated table.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Yeah, so the parliamentary shall count a handbook to the third simple majority from the gallery, comma, where all eligible voters sit in a designated area. I'd like to strike out the words where all eligible voters sit in a designated area, because I think the parliamentarians can take a handbook with designated placards or some sort of markers without necessarily separating the crowd.
Okay. So the sponsor of the resolution has made that amendment. So I will now open up the speakers list for questions. This is on business of the day, so I believe
yeah.
You can vote on it. Any questions or comments? And the committee can obviously chime in too. But if there is none, I will go ahead and call this to question. Call the roll. And then this needs two-thirds
yeah.
to pass, which is... How many?
12.
So it needs 12 votes to pass.
Yes.
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 All right, so by a vote of 18-0, this resolution passes.
So similar to the previous two resolutions, this is another amendment to an already adopted resolution, Resolution 13, and I'll let V.P. Kumar take it away.
Thank you. So basically, you want to remember that you had the resolution 13 that gave software charge to have another. You can previously those. Since then, Chris Bush decided to ask for reconsideration of this matter. In light of the fact that we essentially are supporting the president this spring, so we want to remain. I think this is a reasonable request. That is why we considered this resolution. The final name for the result of the cost of implementing to the lobby that occurs in the spring step away. So that's actually the shot from the service that is going to happen. But once again, if you go to the end of this, then just reaffirm the value of the software going first. Guys, I want to just remember that it's very important.
Representative Rex.
Okay, I just wanted to commend you on this further
I already did
resolution.
That.
No, I know. No. But I just want to make it out that we're doing this because we're trying to put pressure on the university to say that they can't just indefinitely put this off. That's why that we're doing this. So I really, really like it, and I want to call the question.
There's been a call to question. Is there any second? All right. Is there any dissent? Okay. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Yes.
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 What is the next?
Yes.
This is?
Yes.
Yes.
So
can
we
go
on
here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What was the final? All right. 18-0-0. The resolution passes. Yeah.
Of course, we're voting the election vote next week anyway, also. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you're just presenting us.
Do you want me to do it now?
Yeah.
Okay, but we're not.
So the Spring 2010 Election Rules and Resolution 30, revising direct election of the President EVP. These are recommendations that the Elections Committee decided on Saturday. And DOE Junowitz is now going to present them, and we're going to be voting on them next.
Oh, so it's today's question, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. you know, we have not lots of changes, but you know, it's a critical mass that we're getting small. So I guess what I'm going to do, which is kind of go through them starting with page one. Oh, and just so you guys know, this is the last document in your main packet. Okay, so first page is pretty, you know, kind of makes for itself. One thing I wanted to bring your attention to was on page three there. You'll see that they, we basically physically consolidated a lot of that. There are basically four election rules. There's a lot of business about print policies and things like that. We basically just decided that a lot of that is in upper campus life, and they did change the post-print policies pretty much year to year. So we figured, you know, we'll just, you know, leave them out of our election rules and instead just say, you know, please see, you know, we have a link, on the website to whatever the current, post-print policies are, campus life, and so on. So basically, we're kind of trying to trim that down a little bit. So that's what's going on here on page three. Let's see here. Then we'll move to page four, which I think is probably slightly more controversial. So we're gonna, I'm gonna go ahead and go through challenges instead. We'll do the place last. Challenges is from the follow page. Basically, what we did is we basically adopted the kind of challenge policy of this is a few lessons. Essentially, what we're trying to do there was kind of shift. I know, you know, there are a lot of issues with, you know, violating, you know, election rules and campus life policies and people challenging each other over little things. So this year, what we want to do with the new election rules is to shift that to okay, well, does this make the election, you know, fair, more unfair to another candidate? So that's basically what's going on with the challenges now. You know, is that instead of all that kind of wordy and dirty stuff that was there before, now basically challenges will come down to essentially the issue of fairness. So that's that, I guess. Now we're going to talk about race. The first, as you guys can see, basically we decided to, that's an article, too, sorry about that, to put on the plate. Essentially, the rationale for that was a number of different things. Basically, it's the same reason why we got rid of ticketing, you know, a few years ago. It's just underneath, I guess, the idea that candidates should really be running on their own merits because they actually want to perform the duties of that position, not because, you know, a friend is pressuring them to or, you know, for any other reason. Also, not to mention, too, I actually think it would be more fair for, you know, people to run for president in any UC because now they can say, you know, I want to run for president, they can run for president and not have to worry about finding someone to run for the UC. So that was another reason for that as well. We also wanted to make this election much more fair for students who are running independently at large. For those of you who saw kind of how the at large election results turned out last year, essentially it was straight slate down the board. And that's because the slate, you not only had your own votes, but you had the votes of the person you were running with. So it basically meant that, you know, a student who was running independently really didn't have a chance against anyone who was running on the slate, because if you ran on the slate, you essentially had double the vote. And also, we wanted to avoid the whole, well, I'm going to run on a slate just so I can get on independently at large and get someone else's vote as well. So that's what's going on with the slate. And then we also kind of also alleviate the problem of, you know, basically making it fair for students who want to run independently at large, you know, and the same, even in the same way as students who are running for president in DC, is to adopt a fair system as well, very similar to that of the trustee election. I'm going to have Ari talk about that because he knows lots of the logistics of that, so I'm going to hand it over to him.
Can you speak into the mic more, please?
I have some questions that you have on that account. But the basic idea is that instead of checking off your top points or top places that you're voting in one seat, you rank all the candidates that you have preference for. And there's a calculated number of users that you're voting. So it will count even if the top places are aligned from the running.
Okay, now we'll open up the speaker list and I'll also recognize members of the audience. If you would just raise your hands and I'll call on you. First up, oh, right, and this is only questions. Please limit your comments to questions. Representative Rapp.
Yeah, I addition of the roster, there was a lot of problems with people not knowing that they had to vote for the president and vice president and then again for at-large seats. So are you going to be able to specify that like during the ballot? I know you have the ranking system, but will people know that they can vote for the same person twice, both in presidency and ranking in that? You know, can there be directions or something? Because I know a lot of people are really confused last year. Yeah.
So that feature has actually been eliminated from corporate users. So if you want to vote for somebody who's in the academic grade and a president, for instance, you'll have to vote for them to vote like, separately. And in fact, if you want to see the ranking of the grade, that's exactly it. You see a lot of negative feedback about people who vote like,
okay, so that's going to be known for students. Okay.
Community member Mills.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll defer the questions to Siri. Great.
Next year and so on and so forth. I don't think you need another year to really test these out.
And then I guess there's your writing idea. Essentially, the reason why we came up with that as well was also to, like I said, help with students running individually. And also because I really like the idea of having everyone vote counts for more. I think that the ranking system is, I think it's very democratic and it's very fair. I like that. And I do, I know last year, you know, when I was voting for trustee, there were quite a few students who I would have been perfectly, who I would have been thrilled to serve as my student trustee. And so I think this really just allows students to, you know, get more power over who, you know, who could be representing them. So, yeah.
Do you think more?
First of all, I want to commend how well you ran the election screen in terms of having it as an open process, especially at the beginning. I think that was you know, very good to get community and essay input. So, first of all, two good changes were you know, eliminating all these restrictions on dorm campaigning and things like that.
Please limit your
question. Okay, all right. So what was the question? If people don't spend any money, I know in the past, you know, they've been automatically disqualified. But then last year, if you don't submit any receipt, you're automatically assumed to spend $0. I feel like there's got to be some sort of middle ground. So did you guys address that, and did you find some sort of adequate middle ground?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I mean, I think we kind of, I mean, if I'm recalling, I think we somebody brought it up, but we didn't end up deciding as a committee that we wanted to make any changes. But I think that, like, speaking for myself, but I think we would definitely be open to seeing those kinds of changes.
That was, no, definitely. We will, yeah, I would get on that. Essentially, a year ago, how you could use, regardless of whether or not you spent $0 or full amount, you had to find, if you spent that money, you had to turn your receipt, but if you didn't spend any money, you had to also sign a written statement saying, I spent $0. Because students were forgetting, if they spent $0, especially students who ran in unsuccessful elections, they changed so that if you spent $0, if you didn't turn anything in, it was assumed that you spent $0. Obviously, you know, we've had students left and right spending, you know, hundreds of dollars and just not turning your receipts and then having to be automatically assumed they spent $0. I just think it should be documenting how much each candidate spent on each candidate. And not only that, I don't think it's that difficult to find a sheet of paper saying I spent $0.
Okay.
So that's what I think.
Because we're running short on time, I'm going to take three more speakers. They'll be represented as Min, Denzer, and Desai. And, sorry? Then you can email your questions to Nikki later. Is that enough?
So, again, I just want to clarify this one final. So, no one is actually running for a getting a election. They run for a question about the government. And if they run for those positions, they are asking to put in a pool known as the getting a
election. Oh, no, okay. No, you can run independent at large if you would like to.
Okay. But people who are running for a president election, those people will not be putting that pool.
So
they will be.
Basically, there's four undergrad networks. Two of those seats are going to go to the president and the president. I'm sorry if that was confusing the way. Basically, what I meant by that was this makes it more fair for essentially the president, the executive vice president, as well as independent, you know, at-large candidates to all be in the same at-large representative race together. Because, like I said, last year it was tough because students who ran on slate had a really strong advantage over students who ran independently at-large. Independent at-large.
I just want to make a quick comment as well. I mean, as Nikki said, when you look at the results, it wasn't just that people on slates won. It was that if you look at the results, the pairs of slates always came together as well. So, you know, like Nikki and I came together, then Brockman and Gindy, and then like each progressive slate came exactly together, like pretty much for votes. You can see how there's covariance essentially, that the votes are carrying together.
So all of them also be
Yes.
Those are kind of like my proposed. So I guess basically right now quorum still holds as the majority. We didn't think there was any need to hold it as a supermajority, number one. And number two, for validation, Ari has set up the election system so that anyone can see the output file for the tabulation of votes. So there really isn't any need for us to validate the election results as there was in the past. So those were the reasons for those two changes. For those are both that clause. The clause also included a validation statement. Yeah, but either way, we felt that quorum should be a majority and not a supermajority.
And also, given the nature of how, you know, candidates expedited it is, if people can't come, people can't come, and if we can't keep putting it off.
And you all can discuss this after the meeting.
Okay.
But it's not decided.
So my question is based sort of your rationale about making the at-large seats more fair. We thought about that when we talked before, when I was first talking about the community, I said that in the past, there wasn't really any opportunity for people to run at-large because the place dominated the at-large system and the two in the executive president's life, which we came to come for last year. But do you think this really makes it by making the second, do you think that makes it easier for a student to come in and just that large of a number of drugs? Because, like, you know, if you do a scenario, you know, in freshman when you get a sophomore next year, there's incumbent college policies, so they can't run for those things, like they can't run for president or vice president, so they run for an FRC, but they're running against people who are the president and vice president. So when voters are doing the choices to vote for, it's either a sophomore who's running as a new member or, you know, a junior who has 2 or 3 years of experience or whatever. I feel like I'm looking to separate that pool, so there's a singular pool of people running at large and another pool of people running for president and vice president. You're not really giving any more hearings or any more opportunities for people who are running independently at large and not for an executive place position. Any more opportunities to get on that.
Well, essentially what we do is we analyze the election results from last year. For some of the plates, if you were to divide those in two, honestly, quite a few of the independent at-large students probably would have been the top four. So I definitely think that this is very possible. And, you know, now too, I think the other reason why I feel moving plates is two people really kind of working towards the same kind of campaign. Now that everyone's kind of all for themselves, I think that there's no reason why someone's running independently for any campaign should be part of someone running for president. Because at the end of the day, students still have to vote for two students independent at large. And in my book, there's really no reason why they would vote for someone who's independent at large.
All right, so with that, we'll table this resolution and the elections rules changes to next week. And now I'm going to shuffle the agenda a bit. Since so many people are here, we'll move on to Resolution 31, Resolution for the Improvement of the Well-Being of the Asian and Asian American Population at Cornell.
Why are we doing
such a long agenda?
This is about agencies and agents,
weather, you know, so, Dean Hubble,
that's true.
And the group assembly, and there hasn't been much work, movement on it. You guys can agree with that in this resolution. I don't know if there's any time, because I know we have a deadline discussion for like 10 minutes. So, if anyone is ready, are there any questions? There is a little bit of, the formatting. So, the little bit of formatting has to be changed. It's not anything that is going to change the resolution. It's just like wording right now. There are any questions on it, I don't know if you guys have that. Basically a revision of the resolution of 2007 for
okay.
The reason why we're going to today actually is because the administration has to take a look at this again and start work on it. And the best way to do that is to have it on the present board table, you know, as a big reminder from the FM.
Representative Sack.
Yes,
there's been a call to questions. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there a dissent? We're not voting on this right now.
Can I motion to move it to business of the day?
Yeah. There's been a motion to move it to business of the day. Is there a second?
Do you want to tighten it up? Okay.
Yeah.
I think retract. You do want to vote it today?
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right. So you don't want to tighten up like a mistake?
Can you? Because we're going to pass it as is with the way I thought. So if you want to just.
Yeah, I'm going to withdraw my motion so the language can kind of be tightened up a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. So we're going to table it for next week. Okay. Now moving on to Resolution 24, garbage cans on North Campus. Yeah. And Representative Desai is going to add himself as a co-sponsor of this resolution. So since you made an amendment, we have to vote on it now. I guess, can you please reread your amendment, then we'll vote again. I'll take a hand, though. All those in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand.
And then the supplemental
Yeah. Of the amendment. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it passes 17 to 0.
Just to go on, the amendment that Gil just endorsed is gives us the opportunity to either have them within our radius or outside, and obviously we're allowed to either move traffic around that we don't want to utilize right now, or at more, and then something just to clarify,
so
if you guys have questions about how the traffic is picked up, because that was used to that thing about a couple of years ago when someone had to do this. If they are within close proximity of the door itself, and we're hoping that we're going to try and make it so that the people who are already picking up trash for the first floor of the dorm could pick up these trash cans, that way we would have to add in more cost. That was an issue that came up a few years ago.
Okay, I'm opening up the speakers list. Zen, Robert.
Yeah, Adam, I know I talked to you about this. Just to put more environmentally friendly spin on this, I don't know that those garbage cans can be things that have a rule in their business that like one can learn the other plastic trash.
I think the idea that should definitely be more than sustainability. But I think the idea that this is over that there are actually garbage cans already. Just have to be moved, which is an immediate process, whereas buying acquiring new recycling / trash garbage bins requires a little time. So this is more of a immediate resolution and then right now protecting everyone.
So you're not purchasing it.
It doesn't look like
We're moving on to the next speaker now. As you may have noticed, we're joined today by the President and Vice President of Internal Operations for the Graduate and Professional Student Assembly, and the VP of IOPS, Brian Forrester, has a question for you. If you can move on, you can speak in semi.
So did you talk to the Red Light Committee about this?
Yes.
Okay. Everyone was on board with that? Great. So we're not voting on this right
now.
Oh, we are? Oh, great. Call us a question then.
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Call for me.
Second.
Sorry?
Or motion to hand vote. Motion to hand vote.
Second. All right. Everyone in favor of this resolution, please raise your hand. Yep. All those against? Abstention. By a vote of 19-0, the resolution passed. And now we're going to move on to Resolution 25, supporting the Dutch and Swedish language courts.
All right, so this is Resolution 25, supporting Dutch and Swedish. I'll give the sponsors of the resolution 2 minutes. Speaking to the mic.
This looks like some of the other questions that we need to see so far. We have approximately 10,000 Syracuse, 15,000 from the Institute of Case Studies, and a variety of other grants from such as the Institute of Dutch Colony. We also have secured some private faculty donations for grant total. $83,000 plus we're looking at about 5,000 resources. So the essay itself will be
Especially since we're so close, it's basically matching the amount of funds that we need to keep both these programs in. So I think it's really exciting that we're so close that we do need a little bit more money, but it's going to be something that's a very important role in terms of getting those last steps.
No.
Great. So I'll open up the speakers. This first up is VP Beza.
So I guess first of all, it's my understanding that we were ending at 6:15. I guess I'll motion to table this. But first, I want to say that next week I will be motioning to strike the "be it finally resolved" clause. For Rami and I, our conversations on Monday, I think that for me at least it was abundantly clear that that was a bad step to be making. And I would encourage you guys, I guess, in the interim before next week to strike that yourselves. But otherwise, I'll make that amendment. So I'll go ahead and table this until next week.
All right, so there's a motion to table that's been dissent. Is there a second to table this resolution?
Second.
There's a second. Okay.
Point of parliamentary order. It's our procedure. It's 6:30 on the agenda. Why are we finishing it?
Yeah, so you're right. So we'll keep this meeting open until 6:30.
Motion to overrule the chair.
There's a motion to overrule the chair.
Dissent.
Dissent. Okay, so all in favor of overruling the chair?
So basically, I want to end the meeting right now so we can go ahead and go into executive session because
we all want to
get out of here before then.
Okay, so you made a motion to adjourn?
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay, so the meeting ends at 6:30. There's been a motion to overrule the chair. So I'm saying the meeting goes on to 6:30. He wants this to end now. So all in favor of overruling the chair? 7, all again?
Boo.
Okay, so the motion fails. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Rao.
Wait, can I make my motion to amend?
I just passed that.
Okay.
Representative Rao?
Sorry?
Yes.
No, there are more.
Yes, today I have the privilege of meeting with Cindy Ann Morgan, who is the Associate Director of Cornell European Studies. And it's a very nice lady. And she pretty much told me that she had $9,000 going for 2 salaries for the two teachers. Basically, this is $5,000, like $1,000 to do out for SA funding. I'm not sure I'm looking for that.
Like,
this is the exercise that this is
the
first time. So basically, what I want to say is that I'm kind of glad for how hard it's going to be for funding this, and I think this is something that maybe Representative Brass or Senator Brass should go and talk to me about.
Yes.
And just to make something clear, if this resolution were passed as this, it's not officially transferring any money. It's just saying that we will consider that option.
Thank you. Next on the speaker's list is VP Andrews.
Yeah, I definitely, support the idea of having, not cutting the program. Have you spoken to the Dutch embassy at all? Because I know I know that might be a ridiculous question, but I know they sometimes fund these programs.
Yeah,
we were
both of us considering
that. Because if it's a small amount of money, it's an option to look into because I know they generally do look.
We do understand. I think the issue about the Dutch instructor, she may have actually met with an official, she may have contacted them, but I think they were landed.
Yes.
So I haven't explored that idea and explored it again, but based on what the agents told us, they weren't wholeheartedly
with the act of that. And so finally, we'd have to review on a completely separate discussion about the funding for the student assemblies, but I think this resolution should be passed. I'll call the question.
All right, so there's been a call to question. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. All right, so the clerk, please call the roll.
Whoa.
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't get it. No, sorry. Can I dissent to the motion of vote?
All right, so there's dissent to the motion. So all in favor of voting? Levin, all against?
6, 7. So 11 to 7, we will call it to question?
No.
No, 2:30 to me. All right, so we'll go next on the speaker list is Representative Desai.
Sorry? Someone has to motion any discussion or an appeal can do that. Sorry? Cut my nail off.
Part of the reason why it's so important to suspend this for at least next year is because it was such an untimely decision since students had already enrolled in the classes with the expectation to fulfill their language requirements and taking it 2 years. So if anything, at least for the sake of those students, that's enough reason to merit the suspension correctly.
Right, next on the speaker's list, Representative Nicoletti.
Yeah.
You wanted a second.
Sorry?
Second speaker's list. How many more are there?
Just quickly, there has been a mention, right, that B is finally resolved, it's still in there, right?
Still there.
Okay. I'm going to, I'd like to strike that from there. I'd like to be sure I'm going to strike that from there. Personally, I feel like I don't want essay money going towards college arts and science because of the program that got cut there. So, Cal has been getting cut an awful lot. I think he's more than arts and science. And, you know, I'd love to see some essay money being going from the board.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alright, so that final bid therefore
for vote.
Okay, so that there's an amendment to remove that final bid therefore result clause. That the SA shall consider financial assistance in this program if necessary. So all in favor of that amendment? Fifteen. All against? All right, 15 to 1, the amendment passes, and with one abstention. And I will go ahead and call this resolution to question with an amendment. Second. Second, okay, great. So would the clerk please call the roll?
Yeah.
With the amendment.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
Yes.
Great. By vote of 17 to 1 to 0, this resolution passes.
Just because this is very time sensitive, we're going to move very quickly to Resolution 32, commemoration of trans. Okay, it's 32. Yeah. And if any, all of the audience members could please begin to make their way out of the room and collect your bags and such, because we'll be moving on to executive session right after this. Go ahead. 1 minute. Representative Tsai.
Is
there a cause question? Is there a second? There's a call for acclamation. Is there a second? All right. With that, the resolution has been approved.
Is there a Facebook event?
Yes.
All right. The meeting is now adjourned, and we'll move on to executive session.
Yes, it's you. Am I
sure? Oh, okay.
Yeah, like 4 or 5 voters, 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.